reading from Luke's Gospel, we find Joseph and Mary taking the six-week-old baby Jesus into the temple at Jerusalem in order to fulfill all the requirements of the Jewish law. Joseph and Mary are devout observers of Jewish law, and they make that five-mile journey from Bethlehem to the temple at Jerusalem. There are three ceremonies, actually, that have to be performed in the child's early weeks. Firstly, there was circumcision. Every Jewish boy was to be circumcised on the eighth day after his birth. And you know, this ceremony was considered so sacred that it could even be performed on the Sabbath, the day when almost every other act was forbidden by law. On that day, a boy received his name. Now, we know that Jesus was named privately by the angel Gabriel even before he was conceived. Gabriel said to Mary, "You are to give him the name Jesus." So on the eighth day at his circumcision, for the second time, he is named Jesus. And the next ceremony, according to the law, was the redemption of the firstborn. In Exodus 13, it's required that every firstborn male, both human and of cattle, are sacred to the Lord. And in Numbers 18, we read of a ceremony where almost a month's wages was to be paid to buy back their son. There will have to be a third ceremony. For when a woman gave birth to a male child, it is said in Leviticus that she was unclean for 40 days. Or 80 days if it was a girl. An offering of a lamb and a pigeon was expected. But the law also allowed that two pigeons could be offered in the case of poorer people. And we can deduce that as Mary and Joseph offer the more modest sacrifice, they're certainly not rich. So let's pause just for a moment and remind ourselves that Jesus was born into an ordinary home. No luxuries. The cost of everything had to be considered, and there were sometimes difficulties in making ends meet. Now, these three ceremonies may seem strange and old-fashioned, but at the back of them is the conviction that a child is a gift from God. Of all God's gifts, there is none for which we shall be so answerable as the gift of a child. Now let's consider the encounter that Jesus' parents have when they get to the temple, where they meet two very elderly people. And I'm going to have words with Stephen about typecasting his preachers. Firstly, there's Simeon. We're told he is waiting for the consolation of Israel and that the Holy Spirit was upon him. The consolation of Israel means he waits for the comfort of the Messiah that will, and all that he will bring to his people at his coming. It has been revealed to him by the Spirit that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And moved by the Spirit, that's the third example of the mention of the Holy Spirit in three verses. Moved by the Spirit, he enters the temple just as Joseph and Mary are presenting Jesus to the Lord. He takes the baby in his arms. And the words that he now uses to praise and thank God have been known down through the centuries as the Nunc Dimittis. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to be a light to lighten the Gentiles, and to be the glory of your people Israel. And please forgive me if I lapse into 1662 prayer book language for that, because we all learnt it and sang it every Sunday. Simeon did not need to see the fulfillment of God's promise. Just to set his eyes on God's anointed was sufficient for him. And Simeon speaks of the widest implication of God's coming. He refers to the extent of the salvation that Christ will bring. A salvation that has been prepared in the sight of all people. And it will be a revelation to the Gentiles. Now Luke, the writer, is a Gentile himself. And he's keen to emphasize the truth that salvation is offered to the Gentiles. Jesus is described as the one who will light up the world. Simeon also spoke some rather strange words to Mary. The child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that is spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And then a sword shall pierce your heart. In his time, hundreds of years before, Isaiah has spoken of a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock to make them fall. Simeon now takes up this theme and speaks of Jesus as the one who will be a stumbling block to many people. Because they will not believe in him. On the same theme, to the Corinthians, Paul writes, "We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles." And then Peter, again quoting Isaiah, says, "See, I lay a stone, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Together, they're saying that no one can be neutral about Jesus. No one can be neutral about Jesus. As we look around our world today, we see Jesus rejected, ignored, and his name used as a swear word. To others, he's a saviour, a friend, he's Lord and King. And each one of us must decide where we stand. There's no neutral ground. Simeon also added, speaking to Mary, "And a sword will pierce your own soul too." Mary will have to suffer because of this dear little baby. Here is the first indication in Luke's gospel of the death that Jesus will have to die. The cross will be an excruciating pain for his mother, for her to have to witness. And now we meet someone else who's been waiting in the temple for this moment. Anna, described as a prophetess. She was of the tribe of Asher. And Asher was one of those 10 tribes that had been carried away to exile in Assyria. Anna was from a tribe which many would have given up as lost. Now in her old age, after long years of widowhood, she spends her time praising and worshipping God, fasting and praying. And coming up to the family at that very moment, and do note that God's timing is always perfect, she gives thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Anna is echoing the predictions of many Old Testament prophets. Jeremiah, Daniel, Zechariah had all spoken of the restoration or redemption of Jerusalem. And I believe that Anna is describing the holy city as a picture of the redeemed people of God. All those who have been washed clean from their sin in the precious blood of Jesus. She is saying, here in this child is the redemption of God's people. Sometimes I dwell on the older hymns we often sang, and I'm reminded of glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. That's his first line. And the last, Saviour, if of Zion's city I through grace a member am, let the world deride or pity, I will glorify your name. And this whole account of the presentation of Christ in the temple and the meeting of those two faithful people reveals the close links between the Old and the New Testaments. It's also a clarion call to those who follow the Lord to persevere, to hold fast, to be faithful, to trust. And that clarion call comes to us. Hold fast, persevere, be faithful, trust. And you know, they're not impossible demands. These things are possible for every person here. No special call is necessary. No special gifting. Because with his Holy Spirit within us, God will strengthen and enable us to follow the example of Simeon and Anna. Amen.